Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
So a couple weeks ago, we're in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, and just kind of remind us and catch us back up to speed. You remember Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer to the king, so he held this place of prominence in Persia. And the Lord began to work on Nehemiah's heart. He heard of the condition of the people in Jerusalem, the people that had returned from exile. They had returned to the city, the temple was rebuilt, but the walls of the city still were in ruins. And the Bible tells us that his heart was broken for the things of the Lord. So Nehemiah did what we all should do when our hearts are broken for the things of the Lord. Nehemiah prayed. He bowed his head to the Lord and he raised his eyes to the Lord, asking the Lord to make a way. And wouldn't you know it, that the Lord made a way. He made a way. He softened the heart even of that king and made a way for Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem to undertake this task of rebuilding the wall. The Lord providing resources for them, and he provided letters so he'd have safe passage and make his way back to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 that as Nehemiah makes his way back, he finally arrives in Jerusalem. He takes a few men with him, it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. And he begins to, I would imagine this is sort of like a vision trip type of thing where he takes some men. He does not a big fanfare, not a big parade. He kind of goes at night and begins to tell them, as the Bible tells us, what the Lord put in his heart to do for Jerusalem. And so he returns, and now the time has come. The people are on board after much prayer, after much planning, after much dreaming. The people are on board. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, they say, yes, let us rise up and build. You see that in Nehemiah 2:18. And of course, as you can imagine, any time that great things are attempted for the Lord, opposition and discouragement will come. And people did jeer and despise, but with great resolve, they said in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20, the Lord will prosper the work of his hands. This is something the Lord has put upon our hearts. This is the Lord, something the Lord has commanded us to do. And so we will do it, knowing that no matter what opposition that we face, the Lord will prosper the work of his hands. And so with great resolve, they pick up rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, which we began to read about where we are this morning in Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, just to kind of give you an idea of what we're going after this morning, kind of the main point of what we'll be driving at this morning throughout this text, is I want us to see this morning, and you hear some of the language of Philippians 1:27, that striving side by side, we'll see in Nehemiah chapter 3, the people of God can do more together than they can do alone. Striving side by side, the people of God can do more together than they can alone. They're side by side physically. We're going to see they're side by side in their purposes. They're side by side in their passion. That's some alliteration there, but that's not the point of our sermon. That won't be the 3 points of our sermon this morning. So if you're taking notes, that's not it yet. But they're side by side rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So much so that by the time we get to the end of this, we won't get to Nehemiah 6:16, but let me just fast forward a little bit. So much so that when this building project is finally complete, the people of the land say this was accomplished with the help of the Lord. So it's when we're standing firm, striving side by side, when we're doing the work of the Lord together side by side, I believe that's when we see God do mighty things among us. And so much so that he does such mighty things among him that the people of the land say that had to be God, because even though they're united, even though they're going together, that could not be them. I don't know about you, but I know, at least as a pastor, I know you as a church member, I know you would desire for that to be true of Riverside. Now, we'll see this in Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah 3, maybe you're looking at it already, and maybe you're seeing why I didn't read that out loud from beginning to end before this morning, before we got to this point this morning. Not that I don't believe it's the inspired word of God. Absolutely, it is. It's not that. Some of it is, I'm not sure I could pronounce all those names. That would be all my sermon preparation this week, is pronouncing all those names. They're just straight up. That would be very difficult. But that's not the reason. I just believe we need some insight, some background before we kind of work our way through it to help us understand that a little bit. Here's what I liken it to. I was, thinking through Nehemiah chapter 3, even while I was sitting out at a high school softball game on Friday afternoon. And when I go to games or whatever it is, something I like to do is, I really like to kind of watch the coaches and watch the players and how they interact and kind of get the big story of what's going on and try to piece together what might be going in the dynamics between the players and the coaches, the teams and the umpires and all that stuff. And then when you read like the next morning or that afternoon, the box score might seem a little dry. Are you with me here? Compared to what actually went on in the game. But if you sit there and kind of study the box score for a little bit, you know what a box score is? Like, it's just the statistics. Like, you can read box scores and it says when somebody got a hit, how many strikeouts, what inning they got a hit, depending on how detailed the box score is. And if you sit there and think about it for a while and begin to process and kind of put yourself in those situations of what it might have been like in the bottom of the third or the top of the fifth or whatever it might be of that game, you can kind of start putting together the pieces of what that game might have been like. But if you just read the box score, sometimes it feels a little dry, and sometimes reading something like Nehemiah chapter 3, it kind of feels like you're reading a box score a little bit. It's just the kind of the statistics, and it is that. Nehemiah's recording some of the details of this for us, that the Lord in his providence thought this needs, the people of God need to know this. But if we begin to think a little bit and digest this a little bit, I think we are challenged greatly and have much to learn from the Lord this morning. Are you with me? All right, the first thing I want us to see this morning, I'm going to take that as a yes. The first thing that I want to see is the work that they were undertaking. You know that the work is temple building. And then you know that's already happened in Ezra. And you know the work is wall building, is building this wall around Jerusalem, around the city of God. And kind of in this box score here, Nehemiah gives us details of what's going on. So we're going to generally see, so this is kind of general first in point number one, kind of generally see the work that's going on. Go ahead and look in your Bibles. I'll point a few things out for you. You see in chapter 3, verse 1, that the work began by the priest at the sheep gate. Do you see that there? And as we work our way, I'll highlight some of these in a minute, we see that all of these folks were completing different sections of the wall, completing these gates. The Bible says that they consecrated, they set its doors, and then they laid its beams, and they put the bolts and the bars. And so it starts with the sheep gate. And look at the end of the chapter. Do you see this in verse 32 of chapter 3? And between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. We begin with the sheep gate. We end with the sheep gate. And so what Nehemiah is pointing out here in a very orderly account, he is taking us around the walls of Jerusalem and telling us who was responsible for each of these sections. So he starts with the sheep gate. This was the gate that the sheep would come into. It was near the temple where the sacrifices were given, and so that would start in the kind of the northeast corner of the walls of Jerusalem. And as he works his way around to the fish gate in verses 3 through 5, as he works his way through the old gate in 6 through 12, some of your translations might call these gates differently, but the valley gate or the dung gate, how about the dung gate, in chapter 3 verse 13 and 3 verse 14, we read about the fountain gate and all of its sections and the horse gate and especially all these gates that he brings us through in Nehemiah chapter 3. Feels like a little bit of a box score, right? That they're working their way around the city. As he's taking them one to another, he starts in the northeast corner. He's bringing us all the way around the walls of Jerusalem, orderly, one after the other, the ones that are side by side, bringing us all the way back around to the sheep gate. So we get back to the sheep gate. That's the end of the wall, the complete circle around the city. So that's the work that they are doing. So that's point number one. You kind of see kind of the flow of that passage. The second big thing that I want us to see this morning is the work that's before us. Maybe you heard me and remember you saying some of these things when we talked about the temple. So what are we driving at? So we're kind of fast forwarding a little bit to application, right? I don't want us to get lost in the box score and forget how this maybe starts to apply to us as the church today. We know the walls are no longer there. And we know that we as a church are not trying to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. So what does this mean? What's the work before us? We see their work. What's the work before us? I've seen Nehemiah poorly applied. It's been applied to building campaigns. One of my favorites is when I was playing baseball in high school. We went to a private Catholic school that is in Baton Rouge to play baseball. And on the left field wall, there was a Bible verse, Nehemiah 6:16. And of course, I was curious all game long what that verse might be. And Nehemiah 6:16 says that our enemies were fearful of us because the wall had been completed. Apparently, they had some sort of fundraising campaign to build this wall around the baseball field, the outfield wall, and they applied it to that. And maybe they were onto something because they're like one of the top teams in the nation at this point. So maybe they're onto something. I don't know. But I'm not sure if that's exactly what we're going after. Not so much building campaigns. The temple and this city, Jerusalem, was a matter of identity and belonging for God's people. And this was the place where God was worshiped, where his glory dwelled among them. And this was the place where God was worshiped according to his design. This was a city on a hill. And when this city was as it ought to be, this city was a light to the nations where people would come to worship the one true God. And so what we see in Nehemiah, the work that is before us, follow with me here, is a shadow that has now come to light in Christ. That the Bible tells us that we are, the church is a what? You know this, the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That we might shine our lights before the world that they may see him and glorify our Father who is in heaven. This is what we see in Philippians chapter 1:27, that we are of one mind striving side by side for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can proclaim the gospel so that we can be a city on the hill. So this applies to us, I believe, with gospel work. Even in the temple today, we see that the church, the people are like stones, one being built upon the other, that in a very way, the church is the true temple. Christ is the temple. The church is the temple. We are a city, the gathered people of God. We're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So we must guard this city so that city might shine brighter as a light for Christ. And so we have these connections here. That we, the church, together, working together for the glory of God, we can shine as lights. And so this is what the application is. So how do we strive side by side for the gospel so that we are a city on the hill proclaiming the glory of Christ so that others might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? So Nehemiah is leading the people of God to do kingdom work, to do kingdom building, and in a similar way, I believe that application applies to us today as we do the work of building the church, not the building, but the people. Are you with me? Understand? We're kind of going out here. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, you're with me. Good. So that's the work before us. How does the work get done? Here's where we kind of get in kind of the details of this and starting to see how the work. So we see the work that they were doing. We see the work that is before us. How do we shine our lights as Riverside? Big point number three is going to have about five sub-points. How does this work get done? If we look over this box score, we see a few things that come to light. The first thing I want you to notice about how this work gets done is the coordination of these efforts. is the coordination of these efforts. This task, as I told you before, was divided into sections. There is no one person that could do all of this work by themselves. I don't care. Nehemiah was a great leader. And I don't care how great of a leader he was, he could not do this work himself. In fact, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 that he starts to bring people and other leaders alongside him to begin to get a vision of what the Lord has called them to do. And then all of the people together are of one mind that they might build this city. It took delegation. Today's leaders are yesterday's novices, as I heard one person say. And so all of these novices are put to work. And they lead these different sections of wall building, of kingdom work. Nehemiah, the leader, was willing to step out of the way. Yes, we read in this section, if you read this box score, that yes, Nehemiah was at work. He was working on the section of the wall that he was assigned to. But everybody, all of the saints, were equipped for the work of ministry. And they were all engaged in this task, every one of them. And if all the people are going to participate in the work, there has to be some coordination or at least some organization that must happen. Now, just a point of application for our own church. I've told you this, remember family meeting, that's something I want to work on at Riverside. Is we have a bunch of wonderful workers, like some of the best. I would put the workers of this church up against, we shouldn't be up against anybody as the church. But you get what I'm saying, right? I would put you up against anybody, your dedication and your striving for the gospel. But I've been working with some guys since then to really start to establish and pray through, just like Nehemiah did, to begin to rally some men together to say, okay, how can we start putting this together in things like ministry teams, as these are teams, each one has their own walls, to begin to put some more organization so that more saints can be equipped to work in the ministry, so more saints can see, I'm ready to work on that section of the wall and say that they know how to do that. You follow with me here? So we've been working on that. And I think we see that in Nehemiah. We see that today, maybe with ministry teams or whatever it might look like, but they all had the section of the wall that they were working on. So that's subpoint number one. How are we going to do this work? How are they going to do this task that only God can do? There must be some coordination or organization among them. And there was. We see that clearly. Another thing I think that we see if we go across this box score and begin to kind of feel through of what we see in this text is we see great patience. This is not something that you might not directly see, but I think indirectly I believe it's there. And here's what I mean by that. Before they got to this point of rebuilding in Nehemiah chapter 3, don't you remember that it was months of prayer and preparation? It was walking around the city just with some other leaders so that when they got to the point of working where everybody was on board, they had a plan to execute to rebuild that wall. The Lord had laid this project on Nehemiah's heart some time ago, and now all the praying, all the working, all the dreaming, all the longing was finally coming to fruition. What had been baking in the oven for quite some time was now ready to come out. It's the great patience. Oftentimes in church work, doesn't it take great patience? I know as a pastor, oftentimes it takes great patience because you see things that could be better or things that need to be done. And sometimes it just takes time and patience and prayer, waiting for the Lord to open up the right time for that work to commence. And so we see that in Nehemiah chapter 3. We see coordination, organization. We see patience. And another thing that we see in Nehemiah chapter 3 as we kind of read this box score, as we work our way around the walls of the city, we see cooperation. Something that I underlined going through this passage to help me understand this, and I'll just highlight a few of them. I'm not sure how your translation bears it out, but at least in the English Standard Version, you see plenty of times this little phrase, next to him. You see it in, look in your Bibles there, Nehemiah 3:2. And next to him, so the sheep, and next to him, See it twice in verse 3. Verse 4, and next to him were these other guys working on this section of the wall. And next to him was this family. And next to him was this person. Verse 5, and next to him, all throughout this passage, some probably 15, 20 times you see this word, and next to him, side by side. They were organized, but they were also cooperating side by side. All of the coordination, all the organization is no good if the people don't participate. And the people were participating side by side. Now there were some. There's always some, right? Look at chapter 3, verse 5. And next to them were the Tokites. They repaired, the Tokites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. So there were some nobles that thought they were too good to stoop down and do this work. Because remember, they're moving rocks at this point, right? This is not glorious work. They're getting their hands dirty. They're swinging hammers and trowels and they're building. And this is not glorious work. And there were some that thought they were too good for it. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't like Nehemiah. And, you know, we know that of these folks, the Teokites, they had been in town for a while. And perhaps they were just not big on this new leader, Nehemiah. Like, hey, we know what's going on. We know what needs to be done. Like, we don't trust this new leader. That could have been it. Or it could have just been that they were prideful. We don't know, but there were some that were kind of a glitch in the system, but it did not stop the work as a whole. And so we read about this, that there was great cooperation. And that we see that they're all working together side by side. And we see this, follow along with me, in this cooperation, that they did whatever was required. If you read through this box score, you read about people of all different, they all did different things. Some were priests, some were goldsmiths, they all had different jobs. Some were perfumers, some were daughters, some were district rulers, some were merchants. They all had these different assignments that the Lord had given them in their lives. But for this moment, they were all kingdom builders. They were all wall builders. They were all in the dirt, in the mud, with the stones, building the wall. They did whatever was required, no matter what job they might have during the week. You see some application there? If we go throughout this building, we see people doing all sorts of things during the week, but what makes us tick is that we want the glory of Christ to shine brightly in this city, so we're going to do kingdom work, that we would be a city on a hill that will shine brightly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did whatever was required. Whatever was required. And they did it swinging hammers, moving rocks, scratching their knuckles, hitting fingers with hammers, likely on the verge of dehydration at times. And God, with these unified folks, did wonderful things among us. So much so that it was said only God could do it. Let's think of a little application there. I got a couple more here, but is that what makes you tick? No matter what God has called you to do during the week, no matter what job or vocation the Lord has given you, are we after the glory of God shining brightly in our city among us for the work that is going on at Riverside Church? Now, even in the body, there's many gifts, but there's one Spirit. And so are we doing that? So there's some cooperation. There's some organization. There is some patience. There is some cooperation. And don't miss this. If you're reading the box score, there's some practicality behind this. There's some practicality behind this. They work together with one common purpose, and they pursue this purpose in very practical ways. And we read this particularly as we kind of get to the end of this passage. In verses 21 and following, we see several times that the Lord particularly points out to us, particularly when you get down to verse 28, look with me there, that above the horse gate, the priest repaired, look at this, each one opposite his own house. So where's the work going to start? After them, Zodak, the son of Emar, repaired, you see it? Opposite his house. And then when you get down to verse 20, we hear some other folks that they start working where? Opposite his chamber. Now, there's some practicality there. Is if you're building the wall that's right in front of your house, you're probably going to do a pretty good job. Because my protection depends upon it. Like, I'm going to see this every day when I wake up, so I'm going to do some good work. But I think there's a principle here of practicality of start working where you are. Like what's right in front of your face? Maybe it's a person or what is it? Many are working here right outside of their homes. Yes, there's some that come from Jericho to help, but primarily these folks are working right outside of their homes. Who's right outside of your door? Maybe even physically, right? Like there's someone that lives next door to you that probably would love to know the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And maybe it's around the church. Maybe there's something right in front of you that you see, yes, we could be doing that better, and God has put it on your heart. What is right in front of your face? Would you do that work and start there? And not trying to get, you know, cute with it, but just start right in front of your face. You know, someone pointed this passage out to me some time ago, and I think this was, you know, part of the reason that I came back to this city. I didn't know God would bring me back to this church, but he did. That wasn't part of my plans. It was part of his. Because as I moved away from this city for some time, never wanting or thinking I would ever come back to it, I realized there's a lot of work to do here. That's right in front of my nose. There's all sorts of places around the world and around the country that need work too, but there is some work right outside of my front door. And wouldn't you know that I'm now living two blocks down from my front door where I grew up. Sometimes that's the best thing that we can do is go right outside of your own front door. Maybe that's stepping out of your car in the morning. Maybe that's when you walk into the workplace tomorrow morning. You open the door. This is right in front of you. I'm going to do kingdom work here. This is the section of the wall that God has given me to build, and I'm going to shine his glory here. Maybe it's walking right outside of your front door and looking to your right and left and saying, who can I minister to this week? And that's what they were doing right outside of their front door. So there's a practicality. There is a confidence. They knew the Lord would carry them through because the Lord had promised. And so it is for us. We know that he who promised is faithful. He who began a good work will complete it. The gospel will reach the end of the world. God will do it, so we work. That's what it looks like to work. At least a few things we pick up from this box score of how we do the work of kingdom work. Now let's finish with this question. So what? Let me ask you this question. I'm asking myself this question too. I'm asking myself this question. Do you have a mind to work? Here's why I ask this. Because it's hard. It's hard work. Kingdom work is hard. If we start to peek into chapter 4, we start to get more of the narrative, and we'll get to more of that next week. But let me just kind of peek in a little bit to chapter 4. We see that quite quickly. Anytime you're attempting great things from God, you've experienced this before, discouragement comes. Have you ever been so on fire, like everything's ticking in my life or the church life or whatever else, and all of a sudden there's something big or small that becomes a discouragement for you that's going to derail you? Have you been there before? That's going to happen. Like, that's part of it. Nehemiah chapter 4, sure enough, they start building the wall, and Sanballat heard this leader that they were building the wall. He was angry. He despised them. Who are these feeble Jews? Who are these feeble Christians, these weak people? Will they restore it for themselves? Will you actually make a difference? Will the glory of Christ actually shine in your home and city? Will they be able to take this heap of rubbish and the burned stones? Verse 3, Tobiah, I imagine him being like Biff from Back to the Future, kind of a meathead. He's like behind, you know, next to this great leader. Oh yeah, me too. Tobiah, you know, yes, they are building. And if a fox goes on the wall, he'll break down their stone wall. And so Biff chimes in and he offers his little 2 cents. Nehemiah, he prays. He prays. Hear God, for we are despised. Maybe that's where you are right now, like you're doing the work, but you're discouraged. And you feel like it's all a mock, like you're being mocked. It's all a waste. Pray to the Lord. Look at verse 6, chapter 4. We'll stop here. And so we built the wall. We kept going. We didn't stop working. We prayed and we kept going. We prayed and we went. And all the wall was joined together to half its height. For the people, do you see it here, had a mind to work. Philippians 1:27. What does it say? Let your life be worthy of a gospel of Christ, that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind. Be single-minded. We have a mind to work, do the things of the Lord with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have a mind to work, know that you will face discouragement. Know that like soldiers, you will have to hold your ground and stand firm. Know that like an athlete, you will have to strive and work and do your job. But know that you have people next to you working as well. Accomplishing the same thing, after the same task, after the glory of Christ. And notice what it says in verse 6, that after they were done at this point, the wall was all joined together. They're making progress, but it's only half its height. Sometimes we're discouraged by what the work looks like. Not only the people that despise us, but it doesn't quite look like I hoped it would at this point. Have you ever thought about that about your own life? Like my life doesn't quite, it looks like half high, not the whole way up. Part of doing the work is being okay with that. Not being complacent, but be content. God, you've gotten us this far. I know you'll get us to this whole thing is complete. And he promised is faithful. So do you have a mind to work? And if we collectively have a mind to work as a church, I do believe that we have to be organized. We have to be patient. We have to cooperate together. We have to practically do what is before us. And we go forward with the confidence that has been given to us by the promises of God. And let's go ahead and pray.